I first met Dominique Green in December 2003. Right after our meeting, I wrote this account of my impressions. He moves with an athlete's grace, and his gestures, though economical, are expressive and dramatic. In repose, his face has the dignity of a Benin bronze, and yet it is quickly animated by spontaneous displays of sympathy, humor, concern. Lights flash playfully in his dark eyes. He smiles and laughs easily. His quiet brow shows no effort or anxiety, but his eyes, when concentrating, seem to look beyond the present to a better world that only he can see. His countenance is suffused with an aura that, if one did not know something of the harshness of his history, might be mistaken for innocence. It's not innocence, but goodness. His conversation is the most amazing thing about him. Lively, liquid, without uncertainty, without cant or jargon, alive to the presence of his visitor, but patiently pressing our dialogue in the direction of his own profound concerns. It's unusual, at least outside ancient literature, to come upon his combination of intelligence and simplicity, suggestive of an untrammeled soul. He seems a born leader, with no hint of the trivial about him, and so devoid of the mundane concerns that weigh down most of us, that you'd feel no surprise to hear someone predict that, mark my words, this fellow will one day take his place as Chief Justice of the United States, or Archbishop of Canterbury, or Secretary General of the United Nations. But Dominique Green can be none of these things. He is, rather, an inmate who lives in the solitary confinement of a 6-by-9-foot cell for 23 out of every 24 hours along the infamous Texas prison corridor called Death Row. When he's permitted a visitor, the visit must take place in one of a row of tiny visitors' booths, each booth divided by a window of double glass through which prisoner and visitor may observe each other but never touch. In order to converse, the two must make use of telephone receivers attached to the walls. Dominique is where he is for two reasons only, because he's poor and because he's black. Raised in an alcoholic household by a mother whose idea of discipline was to burn the palms of her children's hands, living on the streets of Houston from the time he was 15, Dominique was no angel, nor should the society that failed him utterly expect him to have been. At 18, he was involved, it would seem, in an armed robbery with three other boys. The victim pulled a knife. There was a struggle, and one shot was fired, killing the victim. The only independent eyewitness did not identify Dominique as the killer. The police did a deal with one of the boys, the only white one, that left Dominique charged with and soon convicted of capital murder. The white boy, never charged with anything, went free, and the district attorney interfered with investigators attempting to interview him. The three blacks went to prison. Dominique alone was sentenced to death after testimony from a psychologist known to believe that African Americans and Latinos are more prone to violence than others are likely to be. This psychologist was chosen by Dominique's court-appointed attorneys who appeared, even to the victim's wife, to work hand in glove with the prosecutors. These attorneys failed to introduce evidence that there had been a struggle which would have led to a conviction for manslaughter rather than murder, nor did they request DNA tests of any kind. Over the 11 years, Dominique has lived on death row, where he will soon reach the end of his appeals. He has grown from a neglected and abused boy into a man of stature. At first, he was full of self-hatred and hatred toward all those who had helped land him where he was. But the year-in, year-out faithfulness of a young woman who refused to let Dominique sink into a cauldron of despair finally brought him to his senses. He began to look around him and to take inspiration from older inmates. He began to read, to write poetry, and to draw. His reading has brought him to every category of fiction and nonfiction. He dislikes only fantasy, an understandable prejudice for someone in his situation. He has become a man not only of learning, but of wisdom. Not long ago, he read Archbishop Desmond Tutu's book, No Future Without Forgiveness, about the Archbishop's experience as chairman of South Africa's unique experiment, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, during whose sessions perpetrators of political violence were encouraged to tell the truth about what they had done in the course of the apartheid era, and the victims of that violence and their families were encouraged to forgive those who repented their violence. Dominique was deeply impressed by the book and realized that this was the path he and his fellow inmates must take. He pressed the Archbishop's book on anyone who would have it. You may wonder how it is possible for men in solitary confinement to converse with one another and to share things. Since it would be a transgression for me, who was told many things in confidence, to describe the prisoner's methods, all I can say is that human beings are infinitely inventive.